from Genesis chapter 9, verses 8 through 17. Then God said to Noah and to his sons with him, "As for me, I am establishing my covenant with you and your descendants after you, and with every living creature that is with you, the birds, the domestic animals, and every animal of the earth with you, as many as came out of the ark. I establish my covenant with you that never again shall all flesh be cut off by the waters of a flood, and never again shall there be a flood to destroy the earth." God said, "This is the sign of the covenant that I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for all future generations. I have set my bow in the clouds, and it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and the earth. When I bring clouds over the earth and the bow is seen in the clouds, I will remember my covenant that is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh. And the waters shall never again become a flood to destroy all flesh. When the bow in the clouds is in the clouds, I will see it and remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is on the earth." God said to Noah, "This is the sign of the covenant that I have established between me and all flesh that is on the earth."
The gospel lesson this morning comes from St. Mark chapter 1, verses 9 through 15. It's an interesting reading because we've already read about the baptism of Jesus. Today we read about temptation of Jesus. And then there's a special message after that calling us to awareness. If you have ears to hear the word of God, please listen. If you have eyes to see, please read. Now, in those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as he was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending like a dove on him. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." And the Spirit immediately drove him out into the wilderness. He was in the wilderness for 40 days, tempted by Satan, and he was with the wild beasts, and the angels waited on him. Now, after John was arrested, John the Baptist, Jesus came to Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God, and saying, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news." Here ends the reading of Holy Scripture. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God abides forever. Thanks be to God for God's gift to us. Amen.
Finish my beer.
The weather doesn't look so great.
It's not.
Looks like there's a storm moving in.
Yeah.
Brewing.
Yeah.
You're just gonna finish your beer and then buy a machine?
Yeah. I'm kind of nervous about the storm. Just want to get a couple of beers down.
Okay, I'm not gonna go with you.
Yeah. Whatever. See you, man.
Okay. See you. Okay.
Thank you. Hello, everyone. Hi. Hello, Nuke. Sorry, I'm a little nervous. Okay. This one goes out to Walter Mitty. He knows why.
Ground control to Major Tom. Ground control to Major Tom. Take your protein pills and put your helmet on.
Hear the rest of that song, huh? I mean, ground control to Major Tom. Take your protein pills and put your helmet on. In adventure, it's about awareness, this whole thing, the whole day. And this morning, well, we played this morning and it was really good. It's really good this time. Do you know who Walter Mitty is? Anybody? How many of you saw the film, The Secret Life of Walter Mitty? How many of you liked it? I should have known. Do you daydream? Anybody here a daydreamer? I got in so much trouble in school when they were trying to pour all that stuff in my head. I just would sit and dream I was someplace else, on some great adventure. Weren't you like that? No, I guess not. It's hard being me, some days. Walter, though, always was a daydreamer. He was always dreaming. He was doing great things. Important things, powerful things. And all he was a guy that lived in the basement of the Time Life building, checking out negatives so they could make a cover of the magazine. 16 years he was there, and he wanted to get out of it. But he couldn't help himself because he daydreamed. And in the film, they called it zoning out. Now, Time Life was going out of business. And the guy that was putting together the shutdown of it, the big boss, comes to Walter Mitty and he says, when Walter Mitty is daydreaming, knock, knock, Major Tom, Major Tom. And the reason that woman was in the video, he had spaced out and was daydreaming when he saw that drunk go off to fly the helicopter. Said, are you really going to fly it? Yeah, I am. You going to finish your beer? Yeah, I am. Now, you and I would never run and get in the helicopter with somebody that was staggering out of a room, would we? But the girl in the video said, he's putting you down, calling you Major Tom. But Major Tom is about being a hero. And he started to listen and to think about that in his unconscious. And when she came and started to sing that song, he realized that he had to do something because the moment of choosing was right there. And so he runs and he jumps in the helicopter and begins his real life adventure, not one of being just little old Walter Mitty. He starts his adventure being Major Tom. Now that scene was filmed someplace in Greenland or Iceland, and his adventure takes him all over the world. And finally it takes him back to himself. And the fact of the matter is that the truth of himself was always there. God, in our Bible reading this morning, is telling us to turn around, to see the good news, to feel it, to touch it, to embrace it, and go from that place in an act. All the possibilities of your life and my life. Oh, I know some of you, well, you're like me, you're old. I like to think I still have an adventure or two in me. I'm not going to go hike the Grand Canyon rim to rim again. I already did that twice. I need to find something different. Because I hear this voice of Jesus saying, repent and turn around. For the kingdom of God, the realm of God, the love of God is near to you. Embrace it, hold it, touch it. I asked our children to open their hands when they prayed. I did that on purpose. Why would I do that? Because I don't want them at their young age to be settled into a way of thinking or of seeing. I want their hands to be opened so that when they have a sense that God is speaking to them, they will have the courage to act. It's hard being different. It's hard not going with the flow. It's hard going upstream. But you know something? Nothing was ever done with any kind of greatness whatsoever that wasn't done in that way. I don't know what it is, but I know that God wants you and me to be aware and to be awake to the opportunities that are before us. I know some of you are listening. I know some of you are hearing. And I know some of you are getting ready to do something that will renew the world. And if you don't act on that, you may miss the great joy and pleasure of your entire life. No kidding. Take a chance. Turn around. See God's kingdom near to you. And once you get in that flow, nothing will ever be able to stop you. I'll say it again. No kidding. Let's pray. Now, before I pray, I want to tell you a story. I'm sorry. I interrupted you. I tricked you. Are you still here? Ken Filkins told this story some years ago about a man who fell into a pit. And he couldn't get out. A Pharisee came by, and the Pharisee, you know, the righteous church dude, came by and said, geez, only a bad person would ever fall into a pit. And a fundamentalist came by. You know the fundamentalists, don't you? They know the truth. They have the truth. Nobody else has the truth unless you hear the truth the way they want you to hear it. The fundamentalist said, you know, you deserve your pit because you don't believe the way I do. Then a New Ager came by. And you know, New Ager, anyone been to Sedona, Arizona? Well, there's a couple of hands. Isn't it beautiful? The New Ager came. Well, that's New Age Kingdom. Anyway, the New Ager came by and said, well, maybe you should be networking with other pit dwellers. So a self-pitying person came by and said, you know, you really haven't seen anything till you've seen my pit. And then the county inspector came by and said, do you have a permit for that pit? A realist said, man, that is a pit. An idealist said, the world shouldn't have pits. An optimist said, things could get worse. A pessimist said, things will get worse. And Jesus came along. And when Jesus saw the man in the pit, he took him by the hand and he lifted him out of his pit. I believe, friends, that because we've all been put in a place where we believe we are saved by grace, all of us have been pulled from pits of various widths and depths. By grace alone. It's a wonderful gift. And one that's given freely by our Lord. Now we'll pray.